Do you think that you're a good person? If you died tonight, do you think that you would go to heaven? How do you know? Well, I want to show you a video clip where a young man has to think through these questions, and we're going to see what his response is. So we'll just have a look at the screen. I'll quickly step out of the way.
You have nothing to worry about in this world whatsoever. It's called faith.
Let's see how you're doing. Do you think you're a good person?
Yes.
How many lies have you told in your life?
I've lost count.
Okay, well, do you call someone who's told lies?
A liar.
So you've blown that one. Have you ever stolen something, even if it's small?
Yeah.
Do you call someone who steals?
A liar.
A thief.
If you deny that you lie, steal, cheat, and deceit, you become those things. And that's what you have to understand as a human, is that you can't lose yourself in yourself, because that's the double-edged sword of love. It's out there. You just got to find it for yourself in order to truly know what it is. And I just want to push that to everybody.
You were saying you found yourself. What are mankind's origins? Where do we come from?
Women.
Yeah, but I mean, originally, I don't mean from your mother. I mean, what's the origin of humanity?
Authenticity and love.
No, the origin. Where do we come from? What was in the beginning?
Man and woman.
Yeah, but for man and woman, who created man and woman?
A higher power.
Who was that?
God.
Okay. Why do we exist as human beings?
To love.
Okay, and where are you going when you die?
Whatever you did here, it depends.
Okay, that's true. Now, third commandment, you should not take God's name in vain. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Would you use your mother's name as a cuss word?
Never.
Never, because you honor her, but you haven't loved and honored God. You've used his name as a filth word to express disgust, which is called blasphemy. So serious, it's punishable by death in the Old Testament. Appreciate your honesty and your patience with me. Now, Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, I'm a man.
Have you had sex before marriage?
Yes, I'm a man.
So, Mario, I'm not judging you. You judge yourself, but you've told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments, I've looked at four, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
Now, does that concern you?
Deep down, yeah.
And it horrifies me. We've just met. I love you. I care about you. The thought of you going to hell just breaks my heart. Do you know what death actually is, according to the Bible?
Ultimate enlightenment.
Well, no, it's wages. It says the wages of sin is death. God's given you death as wages for your sin. He's paying you in death. He's given you capital punishment. Like a judge looks at a heinous criminal who's raped three girls and then murdered them, he says, you've earned the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what's due to you. And sin is so serious to God, Mario, that he's given you capital punishment. Lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, adulterer at heart. Now tell me, what did God do for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell? Do you remember?
He came up with the idea that depending on what you do here, you're either good or bad, and that's it. You just got to stick to that and have the faith in that.
No, that's not what he did. Jesus suffered and died on the cross for the sin of the world. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross.
So as you can see from that video clip, that young man had a fear of death. He fears death deep down because he knows that he hasn't done enough to please God. He fears going to hell because he admitted that in the video clip. He knows deep down that that's what he deserves. Now, there are some people out there who say things like, oh, if you do enough good, then you probably won't go to hell and you'll probably go to heaven. But the problem with that kind of thinking is that if we rely on our good works or our good deeds for entry into heaven, then you can never know if you've done enough to please God. This leaves a lot of people with anxiety and fear of death. We worry about what will happen when we die. And really, if we relied on our own good deeds and good works for salvation, then we have no certainty of our eternal future. This is problematic. How on earth can anyone be sure if we're going to heaven? Really, how can anyone be sure if they're going to heaven? Well, the Bible passage that we have in Romans 5 shows us how you can know if you're going to heaven. Romans 5 verses 1 to 11 helps us understand that we can have assurance of salvation rather than anxiety. It helps us understand through showing us it's possible to have peace with God and reconciliation with God. So there are two points that this part of Romans 5 makes. The first is that when we put our faith in Jesus, we have peace with God. Now, some of you might feel, maybe secretly, that you're shaking your fist at God in anger at him. And others, you might even quietly think that maybe God is shaking his fist at you. Bottom line is, we can all have peace with God. And the proof of this are in verses 1 to 5. Now, before we jump into verses 1 to 5, just thinking back over the last few weeks' sermons, we ought to realize that not a single person deserves to go to heaven. We see that in Romans 3. But there is a way we can enter heaven, and that is through faith in Jesus. We can be justified by faith. Now, in this case, justified is like a legal term. It's used to declare someone as innocent. We know deep down that we're guilty, but we can be declared innocent or justified by faith. You can read it as just if I'd never sinned, because we can be made right with God through faith, just if I'd never sinned, we can have peace with God. It says it right there in verse 1. So have a look at verse 1 in your Bibles. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see in Romans 3:23 where it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It means all have sinned, as in everyone, everyone in this room even, you and me. It means we've all disobeyed God. And that means that instead of God being our king, we try to make ourselves king. You can't have two kings over the one body. Either God is king of you, or you are king of you. And if God's meant to be king of you, but you try and make yourself king of yourself, you end up inevitably being at war with God. But the opposite of being at war with God is to have peace with God. This is one of the benefits of being justified by faith. We can have peace with God. Instead of being at war with God and being his enemy, fighting over the disputed territory of our souls, we can have peace with God. This peace with God ends the war that we have with him. Now, do you think that inwardly and maybe even secretly, you've been at war with God? You can have peace with God. Having peace with God is great because it means when you die and meet your Maker, you will no longer have eternal separation from God. Another benefit of having peace with God is the way we have access into God's grace. Have a look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. God's grace, as in God's undeserved kindness, leads to lots of things. It leads to him giving us his son, Jesus, to die in our place. It leads to us being included into his family and his kingdom, as in heaven. So really, a benefit of having peace with God is that we have access into heaven. Access to heaven is denied to God's enemies, but access to heaven is permitted to God's friends. But come and have a read of the rest of verse 2 with me. It says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What that second part means is that we can rejoice in the hope of heaven. We can be assured of heaven. Now, in the Bible where it uses the word hope, it's using the word hope differently to the way that we would often use the word hope. When we use the word hope these days, it's often referring to wishful thinking, like, I hope it doesn't rain on my washing on the line. And if you did that yesterday, it would have been very much wishful thinking, wouldn't it? But when we see the word hope in the Bible, it refers to an assurance, a certainty. In fact, to use a Tim Keller quote, Christian hope is not a hopeful wish, it is a hope-filled certainty. Having peace with God means that we have the hope-filled certainty of access into heaven. This means that if you are following Jesus, regardless of how much you might mess up along the way, God still loves you. You still have assurance of salvation, and you have the hope of heaven to look forward to. To illustrate the effects of having peace with God, I want to show you a picture of Government House here in Hobart. It'll be coming up. There we go. Looks like a place fit for a king or queen. In fact, it is why the former Queen of England had once stayed there. Now, they do run tours through Government House, but you only get access into certain parts of Government House and to meet the governor herself if you've been invited there. Access to certain parts is invite only. Now, last year, I had the privilege of being invited there for a special event. It was a grand occasion. People were dressed to the nines. We got to meet the governor and her husband and a few other high people or people in high places. But just suppose during that lovely event, I decided to make myself an enemy of the governor, say, I hate you, I hate your house, I want nothing to do with you, and then go and run and break one of the big expensive chandeliers and smash it into a million pieces on the ground. I wouldn't be invited back there, would I? In fact, I'd make myself an enemy of the governor and I'd owe her a huge lot of money for breaking that chandelier. But what if the governor, in an act of undeserved kindness, invited me back there anyway? What if she cancelled the debt that I owed by paying it herself and wanted peaceable terms with me? That would be incredible. I wouldn't be her enemy. And it would mean that I could gain access into the grandeur and glory of Government House here in Hobart again. Well, this is exactly what God has done for us, but on an even bigger and better scale. While we were enemies of God and rebelling against him, God stepped in and initiated a great act of peace and friendship and cancelled our debt along the way. As a result, we now have access to his kingdom and all the benefits that that entails. But as I say this, do any of you here feel like maybe just on the inside or quietly you've been an enemy of God and want peace and friendship with him? If this is you, then tonight is the night you can take that step. You can acknowledge that you need peace with God and that you want to enter his kingdom. You know, one of the great privileges of being justified by faith because of Jesus' work on the cross, not ours, is that we have peace with God. But there is something else Romans 5 teaches us here. There is another reason why we can be sure we're going to heaven. It's because when we put our faith in Jesus, we don't just have peace with God, but reconciliation with him too. The second point that this passage makes is that when we put our faith in Jesus, we can have reconciliation with God. Have a look at verses 5 to 8. So verse 5 says, and this is one of the great verses, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now who's the ungodly here? We are the ungodly here. Verse 7 then says, perhaps for a good person, one might dare even to die. It's rare that anyone would die in the place of someone who is morally upright. But even a very loving person would not die for an evil person. This is why Romans 5:8 is amazing. If there is one verse from this passage worth memorizing, is Romans 5:8, which says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Some translations say that as, while we were still God's enemies, Christ died for us. This is powerful stuff. While we were deliberately disobeying God, making ourselves his enemies, We deserve to be separated from him and not let into heaven. But it's amazing that even though while we were his enemies, Christ died for us in our place. Jesus went to hell and back so that we don't have to. And this means we can now be reconciled as friends with God. We can go from being God's enemies to being God's friends. We can go from being out of relationship with God to being reconciled with him. And what is the proof of this? It's the cross. How do we know for sure that God wants reconciliation with us? It's the cross. The Bible is certain here that we can have reconciliation with God and assurance of salvation. You can be assured that if you are already reconciled to God, that you can stay reconciled with God. God will not save you only to leave you and desert you. No, that's why it says in Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. If you've gone from being God's enemy to being his friend, there is nothing that you can do to be his enemy again. That's why it says in verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more, now that we're reconciled, should we be saved by his life? If God was able to save us when we were hostile to him, would he turn against us now that we're his friends? No way. For if God did not give up on you when you were at war with him, you cannot make him give up on you now if you're at peace with him. You have certainty of salvation. Now, I'm going to bring us back to that picture of Government House just once again. But imagine it wasn't me who did all these wrong things inside Government House. Imagine it was you. Imagine it was you who broke the expensive chandelier and did a whole lot of other crimes that were punishable by imprisonment. It'd be pretty bad. But what if the governor, in an act of undeserved kindness, forgave all of your offences, cancelled all of your debt that you owe her, and said that she wanted friendship with you? That would be an incredible offer. To have all of your offences forgiven, to have all your debt cancelled, and to have an offer of reconciliation and friendship. It's amazing. Well, this is what God has done for us. And through Jesus, there is certainly certainty of reconciliation. And there's some people out there might say, oh, I've done too many wrong things, so God can't forgive me for all the wrong things that are done. But here's the thing. Jesus paid for your sin on the cross so that you don't have to. Why would you live your life like you've still got a debt to pay when he's already paid for your debt? It makes no sense. And really, there is so much joy that we can have in our life right now and from here on as a result of being reconciled to God. You can have God as your friend. Having God as your friend, how will you go about enjoying that friendship? Well, why not press into his friendship and his presence? Let us then enjoy being reconciled to him. It means when we sin or do the wrong thing against God, let's not hide from him, but return to him and turn to him quickly. He is eagerly waiting for us to turn to him. After all, he's our great reconciler. Let's enjoy praying to him, knowing that God hears our prayers and is not angry with us. And let's be excited for heaven, for it is real and coming. And we've seen in this part of Romans 5 that you can still have peace with God and reconciliation with him. It's all because of the cross of Christ. This gives us certainty of salvation. Because of this, we don't need to be worried or anxious about God's judgment, and we don't need to fear death. In fact, we don't even need to worry about God loving us less because he's demonstrated the most incredible love for us ever before we even loved him. We can have assurance that because of the cross, we can have peace and reconciliation with God. We have certainty of salvation. When we believe in Jesus, we can know for sure that we're going to live with God forever in heaven. So let us live with this certainty in mind. But what if you're not right with God yet? What if there's someone in this room or listening online who doesn't yet have peace with God? God has initiated the plan of being at peace with mankind, and we all need to make that choice of whether or not to accept his offer of peace, friendship, and forgiveness. So if there's anyone here who has not yet accepted God's offer and friendship and the gift of spending forever in heaven with him, tonight is the night. You can accept God's promise of the gift of eternal life and spend forever in heaven with him. If you haven't responded to God's offer yet, why not do that tonight? If you want to do that tonight, Sam and I are going to be around afterwards. We're willing to do almost anything to help you with that process and journey. But for those of you who've been walking with Christ for a while, if you die tonight, how would you know that you're going to heaven? If you have assurance of eternal life now, how will you now live? Well, we can be sure because of our salvation is based on Jesus' works on the cross, not our own good works. Christ and his cross means that we can live with assurance rather than anxiety about our eternal future. So let me conclude with a quote from a song that many of you will know, which sums up the difference that Jesus makes. The song goes like this: no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. So till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I stand.